welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Coming up in this hour, continuing series with a one-shot hour of four broadcasts of Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police. Produced for syndication in 1937, it was mostly distributed to West Coast radio stations, notably Los Angeles' mutual radio affiliate, KHJ, which broadcast Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy at 6, and Speed Gibson at 6:15 in the evening, 5 days a week. And to bring you a true hour of continuing stories, I've taken the liberty, with all due respect to the broadcasts, of seaming them together to avoid the lengthy intro and outro music which a commercial spokesman would usually read over before the actual story took place. In this next hour, it's episodes 5 through 8 of Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police.
Gibson of the International Secret Police. Clint and Barney send a cablegram in code to Chief Riley of the International Secret Police stating that a jewel smuggler was also aboard the Clipper bound for Hong Kong. But they did not mention that Marcia Winfield, governess to little Jean Kingsley, is also going to China and has asked their protection during the flight, hinting that she, too, is seeking the mysterious criminal, the Octopus. That same night, they surprise an intruder in their bedroom and, after a terrific struggle, overcome the man and discover him to be the jewel smuggler who was aboard the China Clipper. After turning the man over to the local police, we find the boys talking in their room just as dawn is breaking.
What a night. I'm sleeping along just as peaceful, and all of a sudden I wake up and see that guy's face almost touching mine.
He was trying to hear what you were saying in your sleep, Barney.
Getting so a guy don't have any privacy at all anymore. People climbing up balconies and listening to every word you say.
Well, we're darn lucky to get out of that as well as we did. What with you stirring up such a rumpus?
What'd you expect me to do? Give that thug a sweet smile?
Well, he gave him plenty of noise. And on top of that, you couldn't find the lights. Of
course I couldn't. Somebody's foot was in my eye.
It sure was a mess. Half the time, I didn't know which was Barney and which was the jewel smuggler.
Oh, so you're the guy that kept hitting me in the dark.
No, Barney, honest.
Well, if you ask me, we were lucky to get out of it as easy as we did. That smuggler waving his gun around like that. Hey, one of us might have been seriously hurt.
I'll say. The darkness made it hard for us to see him. But I was lucky at that, because he certainly couldn't see us good enough to aim a gun at us.
You know, it's a funny thing. No matter what happens, I always get the worst of it. Must be fate, I guess.
But if you don't keep your head better when any emergency arises like that, you won't have any fate. What's the matter with you, anyhow? You've had enough training in the past to be ready for anything.
You're right there, old pal, old pal. Ready for anything. And believe me, I get everything. What did you expect me to do while that guy was jumping on my neck? Relax and enjoy sweet and beautiful dreams?
No, but you might have feigned sleep a while longer. That smuggler had a gun.
You're telling me? That bullet parted my hair.
Clint and me were just sneaking up on him when you woke up, Barney. Another minute and we would have had him.
Well, you got him, all right. With me on the bottom of the pile. After this, I don't sleep in front of no more doors or windows.
Well, that was your own idea, you know. You wanted air and wanted to see the moonlight.
Yeah, and I saw stars, too. That fella had a punch like a pile driver.
Why do you think he came to our room, Clint?
Well, to get the key to our international secret police code.
You mean our disguises haven't fooled the Octopus gang? They know who we really are?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. By coming to our room, the smuggler proved to me that he was a member of the Octopus band. And also that our disguises are useless.
Then we can forget them?
No, while they may know that we're the secret police, I'm sure they don't know how we really look. Well, me at least. You know, I've been careful of that in the past. And as long as they're not sure of my real appearance, I may be able to get through their lines yet.
But, Clint, what about us?
I want you to stay out of this whole mess, Speed. You're in it more now than I counted on. Sorry that I ever let Chief Riley talk me into bringing you along.
Why, Clint, I wouldn't miss this forever, anything. Set the kids like me to fight crime in every way we can. I'm luckier than the rest because I'm getting a crack at the octopus.
You've done more than your share so far, Speed. Capturing Blackie Spears, my room, discovering the jewel smuggler tonight. I'm proud of you. But now, with the octopus aware of who we really are, I want you to just stay out of the picture.
That's right, kid. You run into more danger since leaving Alameda than I've had in a year. But I'll say you know what to do in a pinch. So far, you've done all the headwork of this outfit.
Oh, no, Barney. I've just been lucky. But I sure wish I could do away with these glasses I have to wear for a disguise.
You'll have to keep them a while longer, Speed. If there was no other reason for keeping our disguises, passport difficulties would be enough. If we assumed our real identities now, we'd have to do a lot of explaining to the Clipper officials.
That's so. The Clipper captain and the crew don't know about us being in the secret police.
But the octopus does.
Yeah, the octopus. I'd give a lot to know just how much information he does have.
What does the octopus call us here for? Anyone know?
Does anyone know the master's desires until he has spoken, Splinters?
No, but he seems to know what everyone else is thinking, though. Gives me the creeps coming to this room. Nothing in it but that microphone for him to hear us and that loudspeaker for him to talk through.
Your feelings are unimportant in the matter. This meeting is important. It is the first time the Hong Kong branch of the band has been gathered together since we first started operation here.
Oh, yeah? Talk some more, Quan Wu. I ain't been with you long, so anything you tell me is news.
The band of the octopus does not waste words. The master is successful because he acts.
Well, why don't he show himself? This mystery business is okay for the yokels, but I'd like to know who I'm working for. And what I'm heading for.
You are heading for disaster if you keep up this foolish talk, Spindle. The master pays you well for the work you do.
Yeah, but you've seen his face. Why can't I? I'm one of the best aviators in the sky. I can do everything with a plane but make it cook. And still I can't see who I'm working for.
It is best not to, Spindle. I have seen the master's face because I am the only one he can trust. I have always been with him.
Well, I'm sick of the whole business. I've been sitting around in his private underground hangar till I've forgotten what the sky looks like. I won't do it no longer. I want action.
The master is...
You call yourself Splinters?
Huh? Yeah? Octopus?
I have heard your complaint. Do you wish to leave my service?
No, not that. When they leave you, they leave the world, life, everything. They never heard of again. I was talking foolish, Octopus. I'll keep my mouth shut after this, I promise.
Your promises are less than nothing to me. Quan Mu hired you because you are a good aviator.
Yeah, the best I can do.
I know your record in the air. And also on the ground, Splinters. You are one of the lowest type of criminals. A renegade aviator. A man who will fly for anyone who can pay him. Regardless of the purpose. Men without conscience, without heart, as unfeeling as the ship he flies.
I
need such a man for my work. But such a man must not complain, for then he will be punished. I have certain underground dungeons for such punishment.
No, not torture. I ain't done anything against you, Octopus. I work for you hard. Don't torture me.
I will give you a chance to prove your worthiness of remaining in the band of the octopus.
What? How? Anything.
One move.
Yes, Master.
I have just been talking to the Honolulu office over my shortwave set. Operator 41 was arrested 2 hours ago on a charge of burglary.
Burglary? Then...
Yes. Only Speed Gibson Clint Barlow and Barney Dunlap could be responsible, since their room was the only one he was going to search.
Operator 41 must have been clumsy.
The boy, Speed Gibson, was the real cause of his capture.
A kid?
For your information, Splinters, this boy is Clint Barlow's nephew. Barlow is not only the cleverest and most intelligent man in the International Secret Police, but he's raising this orphaned boy as his own and has taught him the rules of the secret police, trained him to follow in his footsteps should he so desire. And it is Barlow's heart that I will attack through his nephew.
Clint Barlow is our worst enemy, Master.
The only one I acknowledge, Quanwu. The only one who might end my career. But he made his one mistake when he brought the boy on this trip.
For what reason did the boy come?
Chief Riley thought that such a move would remove suspicion. All three of his guys, traveling under assumed names. For the time being, I shall allow them their masquerade.
May I humbly ask why then you caused the warning note to be presented to them under the dinner check, Master?
More to frighten the Winfield girl. Women are troublesome. I wanted her to stay away from China.
Was she frightened?
Yes, but the little fool has the courage of ignorance. She's coming to China under the protection of our enemies.
Does she know who they are?
Not yet. That note also worried Barlow, not because of his own safety, but that of his nephew. Speed Gibson is the vulnerable point in Clint Barlow's armor.
What is your plan?
First of all, nothing must interfere with our business of smuggling. The men I have assigned to take care of that will not concern themselves with this warfare against our enemies. Quan Wu, you are friendly with Dr. Kingsley, the little girl's father.
Very, Master. I see him almost every day at the council office. He thinks very highly of me.
Good. The more you are in his confidence, the more you will learn about Marsha Winfield. I want you to work on that alone. You know the background there, Quan Wu.
Yes, Master. It will be a pleasure.
Now for the International Secret Police. Alias Monsieur Pierre Dorsey and Jim at Earl Fletcher. I am not attempting to interfere with their activities so long as they are aboard the clipper ship. That would be foolhardy. It is the stopovers that concern me. Those are the places where I can reach them.
But Master Operator 41 is no longer flying with them.
I know, but there are other ways. They leave Honolulu very shortly. They will reach Midway Island in about 8 hours. They will leave Midway the following morning. Fly over the international dateline and reach Wake Island Sunday afternoon. Splinters.
Yes, sir.
I want you to take my special bullet monoplane and fly to Wake Island. You will leave immediately and await the clipper plane from Midway.
Do I go alone?
Yes, but you will have a passenger when you return, at least. You'd better have a passenger.
I will. Who will it be?
Speed Gibson.
Gibson, his uncle, Clint Barlow, ace operator of the International Secret Police, and Barney Dunlap, also of the police, are flying to Hong Kong, China, via the China Clipper, to end the smuggling activities of the world's most dreaded criminal, the Octopus. At the Honolulu stopover, they become acquainted with Marsha Winfield, governess to little Jean Kingsley, and are startled when she tells them that she took the position so that she could go to China in search of the Octopus who has brought tragedy into her life. She asks their protection for the duration of the trip for the little girl's sake. Meanwhile, the Octopus has dispatched a renegade aviator, Splinters, in a special bullet plane to await the arrival of the China Clipper at Wake Island, and there, kidnap Speed Gibson. At the moment, however, we find the boys talking things over several hundred feet in the air, about half an hour out of Midway Island.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind living on one of these clipper ships the rest of my life. Rides as easy as a big calm yacht. good feed, sightseeing, and a guy can get a good night's sleep in one of them berths.
One you got at Honolulu, huh, Barney?
You're darn tootin', Speed. What with you and Clint using me as a battlefield to capture that smuggler?
Well, your snoring wasn't any lullaby for us, either.
Is that so? If I hadn't snored, Speed wouldn't have been awake to see that smuggler when he climbed up to our balcony at the hotel.
It's no use, Clint. You can't top Barney.
He's the champion alibi Ike of the service.
What do you mean, alibi Ike?
Well, I won't go into painful details now. After all, I'm just supposed to be Pierre Dorsey, the French tutor to your son here, Earl. And you're Jim Fletcher, the Texas oil man, now remember.
How can I forget it with you reminding me every half hour? By the way, where's Miss Winfield and Jane?
In the lounge. Miss Winfield's writing letters.
Oh, think I'll see if she needs any help.
No, you don't, Romeo. You stay right here with us where I can keep an eye on you.
Okay, nothing to do, though.
Nothing to do? Gee, Barney, in just a little while we'll cross the international dateline. Just think, we've been flying like 60 ever since we took off from Midway Island, and we'll still lose a day.
Lose a day flying at this speed? How do you figure that?
Because we crossed the international dateline. If we were coming the other way from China, then we'd leave Wake one day and arrive at Midway the day before.
Clint, do you think the altitude's getting the kid?
No, Speed's right, Barney. You pass over the same line on boats, you know. You're just confused because we're traveling so much faster.
Oh, I get it now. Say, they always have some sort of celebration on a boat. Last time I crossed over the equator, they ducked me and held me under for a whole day. At least that's the way it seemed to me.
I'll bet you were red as a boiled lobster when they pulled you out.
And that's funny, huh?
I wonder if they'll have a celebration up here crossing the date line in the air, as they do on shipboard crossing the equator.
Nah, and if they do, they can count me out. For once, I'm going to be the watching audience.
Watch it. Here comes one of the stewards.
Hmm? Well, as I was saying, Monsieur Fletcher, the clipper route is fascinating. You will remember that soon after we left Honolulu, we passed over the very sand that Sir Charles Kingsford Smith used as a landing field for his Southern Cross plane when he blazed the first sky route from San Francisco to Sydney, Australia.
Beg pardon, gentlemen. Mr. Fletcher?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, steward?
The captain's compliments, sir, and he asks that you will not impersonate Father Time for the usual ceremonies when we pass over the time demarcation line.
You mean to say that you have ceremonies up here in the air for that?
Oh, yes, sir. Everything but the immersion, of course.
And you are going to be in the watching audience.
Yeah, that's right, lad. I should have stayed at Midway Island and enjoyed the fishing. Father Time.
Radio OC-34 calling shortwave station OC-127. OC-34 calling OC-127. Come in, please. Gotta come in quick enough. I don't think that octopus ever leaves his set. He talks to me more by radio than when I'm with him in Hong Kong. Uh-oh. Here he comes.
OC-127. To OC-34. OC-127. To OC-34. Stand by for two-way conversation.
OC-34 all ready for two-way.
Flinders?
Yes, sir. I just sighted Wake Island. We'll land there shortly. Can't see nothing of the China Clipper yet.
Wait at Wake Island. Clipper will probably lay over since the airway weather report warns of typhoon in Formosan waters heading for Wake Island.
Typhoon? Well, that'll drown him, all right. That's a piece of weather that even I won't buck.
You might, Splinters.
What do you mean?
The plane will naturally arouse curiosity. You have the story you are to tell the aviation officials. That you are trying to establish a new speed record between Guam and Wake Island for your own satisfaction.
I got all that straight, but what about flying in a typhoon?
Once you get speed, Gibson, you will have to take off, no matter what kind of flying weather you have.
But Octopus, you might as well tell me to send my bullet plane in a nosedive into the ocean right now. Typhoon flying is just another name for suicide.
Are you going to obey my orders? You know what awaits you here if you fail? And don't think that you can escape me by going elsewhere. Remember, the tentacles of the octopus. I can reach you anywhere.
Oh, I know. I thought you wanted Speed Gibson alive.
I want to strike at Clint Barlow. Losing his nephew will remove Barlow from the chain. What happens to the boy is of little interest to me.
But my life, sir.
What are you going to do?
I'll get Speed Gibson. We'll fly into the typhoon if we must.
That is better. You have full instructions. You are to stay by the plane as much as possible, so you will be in constant communication with me.
Yes, sir. I'm circling Wake Island now.
Very well. Land and tell your story to the officials. And tell it well. Tell it so that they will believe it, or you will have to answer to me.
I thought we never would get out of that lounge performance.
Old Father Time himself, huh? You've still got some cotton whiskers hanging on your chin there.
I'll take them off, Barney.
Thanks, kid. I was kind of nervous when the steward was putting them on me. Thought maybe he'd find out I had a phony mustache and a squint.
Yes, he was laughing too hard to examine your face, Bev. You should have seen yourself when they put that paper crown on your head. Looked more like a dunce cap.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, not all dunces wear caps.
Well, get off your high horse, cowboy. Here comes Gene. Now, remember who you are.
I'd better put these glasses on again, too.
Hello, everybody. Mr. Fletcher, I want to tell you what a wonderful Father Time you made. I love
you. You too, Jean. I thought you was my friend.
I am. I wasn't laughing at you, but with you. You sure were having a good time initiating the passengers over the international date line.
I'll have to admit I got a kick out of it, all right.
Well, I'm sure glad to have one of these international date line certificates they give to everyone who flies over the line. Boy, listen to this. The mane of Phoebus Apollo, ruler of the sun and heavens, know all peoples that Earl Fletcher, once earthbound and time-laden, is now declared a subject of the realm of the sun and of the heavens with the freedom of our sacred eagle. That with the speed of our flaming chariot, this subject did fly the Pacific skies over the international dateline, which mortals designed to mark off in the limit of days our eternal course through the skies.
All right. You didn't have to read your certificate to us. We all got one, and as far as I know, we can all read.
Yeah, Pop, but I like the sound of those words. It makes you feel like somebody.
I'm awfully proud of my certificate, too, Earl. And I like these pictures of the sun, moon, and stars around the edge, and the flaming chariot, and the clipper ship. I love this whole trip, especially the goonie birds. Mr. Dorsey, you think there'll be any goonie birds on Wake Island like there was on Midway?
Well, very probably, Mademoiselle.
They're so funny and awkward. I would have liked one for a pet.
You'd have a heck of a time keeping a goonie bird aboard the China Clipper.
I got a kick out of those goonies, but the birds that moaned and groaned gave me the heebie-jeebies. Wonder what they call them.
Don't know, Bar. I mean, Pop. But the Clipper captain himself pointed out that turned frigate birds and giant albatross. Boy, they're colossal.
Colossal albatross. Hear that, Mr. Dorsey? You have to teach him better than that.
Well, you always exaggerate, Monsieur Fletcher.
Well, they were big, and so were the fish. Hope I can get in some more fishing at Wake Island.
I think we'll have to stay in the hotel at Wake.
Well, what do you mean, Jean?
The steward just told Marcia that a typhoon was heading for Wake Island. We'd probably have to lay over until it passed.
Typhoon, Well, then we'll be late getting to Hong Kong.
Oh, not very late, Monsieur Fletcher. These typhoons are terrible, but very quick.
Look, there's Wake Island ahead now. I don't see any signs of a storm anywhere.
It's coming from Formosa, he said.
The aviation weather reports give a clipper plenty of warning, Earl. They may have a half a day of clear flying weather ahead, but if there is any danger whatsoever of a bad storm crossing their path, they are ordered to remain grounded until all is clear once more.
Well, as swell as this clipper plane is to ride in, I'll be glad to walk on land again. Sort of get air legs up here.
It won't be long now. Oh, look at that pretty lagoon we're going to land in. And look, people are coming to the dock to meet us.
You can certainly see good, Earl. Let me look through those glasses.
No, they're too strong for your eyes. Oh, everybody always gets excited when we come to a place, especially when it's in the middle of the ocean.
Any sign of the typhoon yet?
No, monsieur. But I see something else, Barney.
Danger?
I don't know, but I got a hunch. Look at that plane down there.
Boy, a two-seater and built for terrific speed.
No familiar identification mark. Barney, that plane looks more dangerous to me than a dozen typhoons.
You think the octopus?
We'll know soon enough, but watch yourself after we land. Anything can happen way out here in mid-Pacific and be called an accident.
Thank you.
Clint Barlow, his nephew Speed Gibson, and Barney Dunlap, all of the International Secret Police, are flying to Hong Kong in the China Clipper with orders from headquarters to capture the criminal, the Octopus, whose powerful crime organization, like the tentacles of a giant octopus, embraces the whole world. At the moment, our three friends in disguise are halfway to their goal, having just landed at Wake Island. They have already had trouble with spies of their enemy, but do not know that the Octopus has sent a renegade aviator, Splinters, in a fast bullet plane to Wake Island to kidnap Speed Gibson so that Clint will be detracted from his purpose. Meanwhile, a weather report has warned that a typhoon is heading out of Formosan waters. The Clipper passengers have been asked to remain indoors. We find Speed, Clint, and Barney restlessly pacing back and forth in their room at the Clipper Inn.
Gee, I wish we didn't have to stay inside. I'd sure like to see that special two-seater plane close. Wonder who it belongs to.
Yeah, I wonder too, Speed. I don't like the looks of her.
What do you mean, Clint?
Now, it's very unusual for any sort of plane to land at Wake Island excepting the Clipper ships. It's too far out. That little plane must have terrific power. I wonder why.
Maybe some guy's trying to break another record or some sort.
Maybe. I don't like the looks of it right at this time, especially on top of everything else that's happened.
You mean the jewel smuggler that tried to break into our room on Honolulu, and also that note from the Octopus that warned everyone at the table to lay off?
Yeah, I'm uneasy whenever we're off the Clipper ship. When we're on land, even in mid-ocean, the Octopus has a chance to strike.
I'd just like to see him start anything way out here.
Well, well, what courage you have, Grandma.
You jumped a mile, Barney.
Oh, me nerves are all shot. It's them goonie birds, I think, or those other feathered things that moaned. I wish we were in China.
Well, don't worry, we soon will be. Remember your disguises now. Who is there, please?
Jimmy and Martha.
Oh, just a second.
I hope we didn't disturb you. Just wanted to see if you had gone down to the lobby yet.
No, but we will now if you'll guarantee us your company, Miss Winfield.
Oh, try and get rid of us. When I asked for your protection until I could deliver Jean to her father in Hong Kong, I really meant it, Mr. Fletcher. And you've been so kind on the trip. I don't know how I can ever repay you.
Why, it's a pleasure, ma'am. Down in Texas, there's nothing we like to do better than protect women and children.
Well, if you and Earl are ready to leave the room and go down to the lobby, Monsieur Fletcher, I will lock the door.
Oh, sure thing, Mr. Dorsey. Come along, Earl.
I'm coming, Pop.
There we are. I do not believe anyone can get in the room without our permission.
I hope not. Your experience in Honolulu was enough for one trip.
I should say so.
Mr. Fletcher, all of you, I don't know just how to say this, but ever since Earl rescued Jean from drowning at Waikiki, I've felt as if you three were our only friends. I've already told you that the Octopus has had a sinister influence on my life. I told you that because I trusted you and felt that all three of you are not quite what or who you appear to be.
Well, I do not understand what Mademoiselle means.
Oh, I'm not saying all this because of idle curiosity. I think you know that. Perhaps I'm trying to warn you. Oh, I don't know. It all sounds so silly when I try to put it into words. But that plane in the lagoon...
The bullet plane?
Yes. This afternoon, right after we arrived, Jean went down to the beach to look for some more shells. She found some right beside the plane. And while she was collecting them, the aviator came down, not seeing her since he entered the plane from the other side.
And he put on his flying helmet, twisted some dials in front of him, and talked into a little round thing, giving some sort of mixed-up letters and numbers.
Shortwave radio with earphones concealed in pockets in his flying helmet, just like the United States Navy uses for plane-to-ground communication.
Oh, Mademoiselle Jean, now think. Can you recall the letters and numbers he used?
No, Mr. Dorsey. But whatever station he was calling was in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong? Say, what about...
Oh, wait. Isn't that the aviator there at the other end of the lobby?
Yes, that's him. He's watching us.
He doesn't look very mysterious to me.
Well, maybe we are attaching too much importance to him. Our staring has probably attracted his attention.
That's what I think. Look, there's the Clipper captain over there. Let's go and ask him about this typhoon we've been hearing so much about and forget that flyer.
Very well. Are you coming, Earl?
I'd like to stay here and look at this case of shells, rocks, and stuff that have all been taken from this island, Mr. Dorsey.
Me too.
All right, but be sure and not go outside. Remember the typhoon warnings. Danger signals, Earl.
I get it, Mr. Dorsey. Don't worry.
And keep an eye on Jean, will you?
You bet, Miss Marcia. I wonder if that aviator's really trying to establish a new speed record between Guam and Wake.
What do you mean, Earl?
Monsieur Dorsey and Pop were asking about him right after we landed. Of course, you know that anybody who lands here is questioned by the authorities to find out why they landed. Because this is one of the government naval bases, and they don't want anyone around who hasn't got a good reason to be here.
I don't blame them.
This fella had good credentials, all right, but that doesn't mean anything. A criminal always makes sure he's protected that way when he's really up to something.
Why, Earl, you talk just like a detective.
No, I don't, Jean. But I am kind of curious, because I think that guy's way out here for something more than just a speed wreck.
I wouldn't be too curious, Earl. He looks like a villain to me.
A villain? You wouldn't know one if you saw him.
I would, too. And you better be careful of him.
Say, listen. I've got enough people telling me what to do with Pop and Monsieur Dorsey without you adding your bit.
All right. But let's look at these shelves and things instead of that man. I think they're lots more interesting, don't you, Earl?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure.
Sure. You're not looking at them at all.
I'm watching that aviator. He's coming over here.
Do you think we'd better tell your father and Mr. Dorsey?
No. They're busy now. And I'd like to talk to this guy. You go look at that map over there or something, will you, Jean?
No, I want to hear what you're going to ask him.
But, Jean...
Is it another mystery?
No, it isn't another mystery. Oh, hang around if you want. But let me do the talking.
Sure.
Hello, kids.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Saw you two come in off the cleverness. Kind of interested in knowing how you liked the trip.
Oh, it was swell.
Like flying, huh?
Yeah, I do some of it myself.
You do? How old are you, kid?
15.
And I'm 12.
Imagine that. Kids your age flying over thousands of miles of water. And what'll you be doing when you get as old as me?
What are you doing?
Why, I'm trying to establish a new speed record between Guam and Wake Island.
Bet you could. We saw your plane during our landing. Looks plenty fast.
Would you like to see it close?
Oh, we couldn't do that. There's a typhoon heading this way.
Oh, we have time before that strikes. You can help me check a mooring. You'd better stay here, little girl. But your friend in here and me will go see to it and be back as quick as a wink.
That's a good idea. You wait here, Jean.
But Earl, remember what Mr. Dorsey...
I know. They should notice I'm gone. Don't say where. I'll tell them all about it when I get back.
But supposing you don't get back?
Well, what's going to stop me?
Come along, young fella. If you want to take a look before the typhoon strikes, come on.
Earl, don't go. Please don't go, please.
So, you see, Mr. Fletcher, according to our calculations, Wake Island will not feel the full force of the typhoon. It will pass southwest of us. But for safety's sake, I want all my passengers to remain here in the hotel.
Good, that's fine. When do we eat, Captain?
Will the clipper be delayed in the takeoff for Guam, Monsieur le Capitaine?
Oh, I don't think so, Mr. Dorsey. We're in constant communication with Guam, and they say that the typhoon will be surely safely passed by the time we're ready to leave Wake.
Well, I guess I'd better be getting back to Jean. She's still over there by that case of rocks and shells. But I don't see your son around anywhere, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, he can't be far off. Let's mosey on over there. Thanks a lot for the information, Captain.
Yes, indeed. You're entirely welcome.
Monsieur Fletcher, the aviator is also missing.
What?
I certainly hope that we will find Earl somewhere about.
Oh, Jean will know where he is. Jean, honey.
Oh, Marcia, I'm so glad you've come. I'm getting sort of worried.
Worried? Why?
Earl went outside with that aviator that you were talking about.
Outside? Why? What did he tell you?
Why, Mr. Dorsey, you're not French anymore.
Never mind that, Jean. Why did he go after we told him not to?
The aviator wanted to show him the plane. If you could help him moor it better, too.
Oh, well, what's wrong?
Come on, let's get out there.
We're not too late.
Oh, I don't understand, but if Earl's in trouble, shouldn't we ask for help?
No, we can't, not yet. Quick, let's get out the door before anyone tries to stop us. Miss Winfield, you wait here with Jean.
Hold everything. I'm going to open the door.
Oh, if I could only do something to help you.
I told Earl not to go.
Watch yourself, Bonnie. Everything that isn't fastened down is apt to go up in the air.
Help me shut this door.
Can you... Can you see anything of speed?
No, I can't even see the plane in this wind.
Well, come on. We gotta get out the wharf. Here, link arms with me. We'll have to fight this wind every inch if we expect to get down there.
Lean against her. Speed! Speed!
Save your breath. He couldn't hear us in this wind.
Clint, look! That column of water racing toward us.
The typhoon whirlwind. Down on your stomach, Barney. Down flat. It's our only chance.
Of the International Secret Police.
Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero.
Gibson, his uncle, Clint Barlow, and Barney Dunlap have twice foiled the attempts of spies of the dangerous criminal, the Octopus, to halt their coming to Hong Kong, China, where he has centered his smuggling activities. The Octopus has only begun to fight the three members of the International Secret Police, and knowing that they are traveling in disguise and are coming to China aboard the China Clipper, dispatches a renegade aviator known as Splinters to await the Clipper at Wake Island and kidnap Speed. In the last episode, you remember, the aviator managed to get Speed alone under the pretext of showing him his special bullet plane. The rising wind bespoke the typhoon, which the Clipper weather stations forecast, and Clint and Barney discover Speed's disappearance and go out to look for him. The heart of the typhoon, a huge column of water, passes southwest of Wake Island, and the boys are forced to the ground by the terrific wind. But at last, with the worst of it over, we find them buffeted and gasping for breath.
Wow, that was a close call. I never want to be any closer to a typhoon than we was.
Forget about us. We've got to find Speed.
I can't see anything until I get some of this dirt out of my eyes. I think I got half a Wake Island.
Come on, hurry up. The octopus has sent one of his thugs to kidnap Speed. I'll hunt him down if I have to tear Asia apart.
Take it easy, Clint. Don't let it get you. That's just what the octopus wants. He thinks by kidnapping Speed, he'll throw you off the track and you'll hunt for the kid instead of him.
Yeah, come on, Bonnie. Let's go down. Let me get my hands on that aviator.
If the plane's still there... Clint, you don't think that rat would take off in a typhoon?
No, I'm not thinking until I know. You'll be able to see if the plane's there. She's to get around the corner of the hotel.
Why did the kid ever leave the hotel in the first place? He knew that pilot was under suspicion.
He may have had some idea in the back of his head of learning what he was really up to. Why the dickens did I ever allow him to join the secret police? Why didn't I have sense enough to stand by my first decision?
Too late to talk about that now. Clint. Clint, the plane's still there. Still got its canvas covering on.
Yes. But have your gun ready, Barney. We're not taking any chances with this fella.
You're darn tootin' we're not. He's moving around under the canvas.
Let's run for the plane and stay on the windward side. And keep well down until we get the lay of the land.
Okay, buddy.
Easy now. Easy. I'm going to rip back the canvas. You cover me with your gun, Barney.
Right.
You all set?
Yep.
Let her rip.
Hey!
Suffering wang doodles. Speed.
Barney, you scared me when you ripped that canvas back like that.
We scared you? And what do you think you've been doing to us? We tried to walk through a typhoon to look for you. That's all. It's just a typhoon.
Gee, I'm sorry, Barney. I thought I was helping you guys out. Look.
What? The mystery pilot.
And he's out cold as a cucumber.
Uh-huh. I gave him an uppercut.
You gave him a... Gee, what is this? Clint and me are supposed to be working on this case, too. And you're getting results single-handed.
I only did what I thought was right.
Well, for one thing, you disobeyed orders, Speed.
Yeah, Clint, but...
No excuses. You disobeyed orders and ran a risk that might have upset all our plans. Had this man succeeded in kidnapping you, the octopus would have held all the winning cards. Now, how could I continue pursuing him with your life in danger?
I never thought of that, Clint. But I really wasn't in any danger. This guy didn't think I knew much, I guess, because he told me to get in the plane to look at the controls closer. And he started to climb in, but gave a quick look around first. That's when I hit him.
You sure gave him a good one, kid. He's sleeping as peaceful as a baby.
I didn't want to have any trouble with him while I was trying out this short wave set of his. Isn't it a pip?
Now, wait. You keep that helmet off and come with me, Speed. Take out the prisoner, Barney. We'll carry him back to the hotel.
As a prisoner, Clint?
Yes, the mask's off. From now on, we're traveling not as the Fletchers and Pierre Dorsey, but as members of the International Secret Police. The octopus has shown only too clearly that he knows us for what we are.
But our disguises, Clint.
And you and Barney can forget them. But I'll still use most of mine, in looks only. Now, the fact that the octopus doesn't know how I really look may save our necks someday.
What about passports?
Chief Riley thought of that. I have three that will replace the ones we used under our assumed names. I'll have to do a lot of explaining to the Clipper officials, but our credentials will establish our identities. We'll have no trouble.
I hope not. We have enough octopus trouble without anything else added to it.
What about this plane and shortwave set, Clint?
We'll cover it up again until we have time enough to fully investigate the job. I believe that shortwave set may be one of the things that will unlock the secret of the octopus.
I sure hope so. Hey, look. This plane's got a radio telegraph as well as a shortwave phone. This guy's equipped for everything.
A radio telegraph, huh? That means he's been picking up all the Clipper calls, too. Knowing their frequencies, he could listen to all their movements. Well, that's how he knew when we were to arrive at Wake Island and whether we were going to lay over or not because of the typhoon.
Do you think so, Clint?
It's a guess, but I think it's pretty good. You know, the weather reports to the Clipper ships not only comes from all the stopovers, but from ships at sea to the south and north, and then from other Clipper planes, too. See, this man should have notes on these weather reports and perhaps other data that might lead us to the octopus.
Gee, let's search him here.
Oh, and have the wind blow all the papers around in case there are any? No, be silly.
Oh, then let's go back to the inn as soon as possible and give this guy the works. That is, if we can bring him around after that clip Speed gave him.
He's coming around already, Clint.
Yeah, so I see. Well, that's good. Now we won't have to carry him back to the inn.
Good is right. I'm getting more of a workout on this job than I ever got on anything else.
It's worth it, though, Barney. Anything's worth it that'll lead us to the octopus.
Master, you sent for me?
Yes, Quan Wu.
I have just received word from Wake Island.
From the aviator, Splinters?
No, from our other operator there. Splinters has been arrested.
Arrested? By whom?
Need you ask? Clint Barlow. Splinters, the clumsy fool, forgot that Pete Gibson has been trained by his uncle for the secret police. He attempted to kidnap him by the crudest of methods. Result? Speed knocked him out.
But it is an outrage. Such things cannot happen to the members of the Octopus Band.
Such things have happened and are happening, but they will happen no more. Ever since our persistent police left their headquarters in New York, I have attempted to turn them from their purpose, warn them by subtle methods. I will no longer attempt this. From now on, I will strike at them directly. If I must meet them face to face.
You would not do that, Master. No one has ever seen your face except me.
Correction, Quan Mu. No one but you has ever seen my face and known me to be the Octopus.
True. But this Clint Barlow is clever. Your paths have crossed before. Perhaps he would recognize you. Perhaps his uncanny intuition would warn him of your identity, of danger.
I am not afraid of Barlow, Quan Mu. I respect his parents, but I do not fear them.
Yes, Master. And what is your next move to be?
Splinters, the aviator, is new in our organization. I do not believe that he has learned the value of silence.
You think he will talk?
Yes. He and my bullet plane must be removed before they tell any of my secrets to Barlow and to Speed Gibson.
And how is this to be accomplished?
That is up to my operator on Wake Island. I shall give the order to go ahead now over the shortwave radio. For very probably, Barlow is questioning Splinters at this very minute.
Sit over here, Speed. I want you to be in on this questioning.
Okay, Clint. Where's Barney?
He's guarding the plane. Has one of the company men with him.
You expect the Octopus has more spies on Wake Island than this one here?
I don't know, but I'm not taking any chances. Now then, let's see what our prisoner has to say. What's your name?
Splinters.
Splinters, huh? It's rather a new alias, isn't it?
I come when I hear it. That's all a name's good for anyhow.
Oh, I don't blame you for wanting to forget your other name, Ted Bailey.
Well, how did you know? How are you talking about?
I remember the notice I once saw in the United States Naval Office. You were wanted for desertion.
Navy? And that's how he came to use that special flying helmet with earphone pockets. The United States Navy helmet.
Yes, Speed. Bailey deserted and took one of the planes with him. They found the plane later, cracked up, but the missing pilot was never located. Until now.
All right. Suppose I am Bailey. What are you going to do with me?
Send you back to America to face desertion charges and also attempted kidnapping.
You can't prove that kidnapping business.
Speed's testimony will prove plenty, Splinters. But let me remind you that nothing that awaits you in America will compare to the fate you'd suffer if the Octopus can never lay hands on you again.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I don't know nothing about this, Octopus.
You know plenty, Splinters, and I want you to talk. Because the crimes you may have done in the past won't compare with the crime you will commit by not giving evidence against the Octopus. He's not only an enemy of the United States, but an enemy of the whole world. I have an idea that you've seen samples of his terrorism.
I have nothing to say.
Where's the hangar you flew from? Where's your base of operations in Hong Kong?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why were you going to take me, Splinters?
Nowhere. I was just showing you the plane.
Oh, the story you tell of trying to break the speed record between Guam and Wake Islands is full of holes. You haven't been able to prove a thing. I've made inquiries. Guam never heard of you. Neither has Manila. Oh, come clean, Splinters. Don't have a false sense of loyalty to a man who won't turn a hand to help you if you're taken by the police.
It ain't loyalty.
It's fear. Fear, isn't it? Fear of what the Octopus will do if you fail. You knew a typhoon was coming up when you attempted to kidnap Speed, and yet you dare fly into her. Rather than face the revenge of the Octopus if you fail to accomplish what he ordered you to do.
Yeah, Barlow, that's it. He said he'd torture me. I'd rather die in my plane clean and quick than go back to him and be tortured to death.
Then lead us to him, Splinters. Help us in our fight against the worst criminal ring of the 20th century. And return to the United States to face the music, knowing that you've done your bit to end crime.
Yeah, you're right. I'll tell.
Oh, look out! Someone broke the window.
He's come after me. He told me he'd get me. No matter where I was. Help me! Help me!
Thank you.
Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police on Tuned to Yesterday. That was episodes 5 through 8, released for syndication in 1937. And that brings to a close this hour of series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.